It's a blessing to see all of you all again. Some of you I hadn't seen for a long time. Thank God I got to see you today. Okay, so she taught me about discipline too. Several times. What can you say? I thank God that He blessed me to have her as my mama. I like to read from chapter 31 of Proverbs. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. And giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her house. For all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her. in the gates. Somebody was going to ask me to describe my mama. I just did, to a large extent. Why are we even here today? Y'all ever thought about it? Why do we have to be here? I've been standing in this place many times. Preached the homegoing of one of God's dear children. Why are we here? We're here because of sin. Do y'all know, to understand really why we're here, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, and He added man to it by creating him from the dust of the earth. Did you know that God, by God's estimation, by God's declaration, His creation was good and very good? God said, what I've created is good. I want you to realize that when Adam was created, God created him perfect and sinless. He was created uncorrupted, but corruptible. Y'all remember that. That's going to matter something. That's going to mean something to you in a little while. He was made uncorrupted, but corruptible. And you see, when God gave him one law, he couldn't keep that one as a naturally good man. He couldn't keep that one law. And God, so he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, didn't he? And what happened to Adam? He lost that naturally good state. And when he fell all the way.
That's right.
And do you know what God did in His mercy? He thrust him out of the garden, and He disallowed him from being able to go back in and partake of the tree of life in that condition.
Right.
In His mercy, He kept him from doing that. You know why we're here today? It's because of that one event. That's why we're here today. Because sin entered into the world by one man and his disobedience. That's why we're here. That's why these bodies wear out. That's why we have sicknesses and diseases. That's the whole reason that my back hurts more now than it did before. That's the reason why I have to wear these glasses. It's the reason why when you tell me something and you don't speak up, I have to go like this, because I can't hear anymore as good. You see, we're not getting better.
No.
We're getting worse. And that's because of not only Adam's transgression, but mine. I was conceived in sin, and I proved it by my actions every day. Don't you? Don't you prove it by your actions every day? And you know what Scripture says about the end, don't you? When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, or however it goes. Yeah. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. I want you to remember that too. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. We find in Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Do you know one of the greatest evidences that you are a sinner is? You know what the greatest evidence is? It's this right here. It's right here. When you die, it's an evidence that you are a sinner. And as good as she was, and as blessed as she was, and as faithful as she was still a sinner. There's the proof. That sounds kind of bad, don't it? That sounds kind of tough, doesn't it? That I'd talk that way about her. Well, I like to get real.
Right.
I like to be real. But I got better news for you than just this. This is the end of the natural man. You see, there's better news than that for the spiritual man. You know, when God causes His Spirit to blow in your heart and to cause you to be born again, do you know that you're called a new creature?
Right.
A new creation? A new creature. I love that, don't you? That means that when you're born of the Spirit of God, you don't lose your natural characteristics. You still have them. But now you have some addition to those, and the addition is the characteristics of God.
Yes.
And they are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the characteristics of God.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people in here that look like my mama. You know why? Because they kin to her. There's a whole bench over here look just like her. Whole benches back there look just like her. You know, I look like my daddy. Got big eyes, big ears, big nose, big feet, big voice. Just big in general. I share his characteristics and his mannerisms. But you know, after I was born of the Spirit of God, I'm now able, as bearing those characteristics of my daddy, after we're born again, we bear the characteristics of God. And I got good news for you, that when you bear those characteristics and are born of the Spirit of God and you possess those characteristics, that part of you will never die.
Amen.
That part goes on home. The spirit and soul goes back to God who gave it. He gave that life and He took it back. He took it back. I tell you, this is some wonderful portion of scriptures here. Let's look in verse 18 of chapter 5 of Romans. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," that's Adam's offense, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, you see what we got here, don't you? We have the offense of one as opposed to the righteousness of one. We've got sin and death on this side, and we got life on this side. You see what we got? This is what man does. Disobedient. Sinful. He dies. And you got Christ, righteousness, peace on this side. He says, therefore, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Listen to this. It says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
That tells me that whatever sin could do, grace overruled.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that it's grace is superior to sin every time.
Amen.
I want you to know that whatever you could do to mess something up, the righteousness of God will fix it up.
Amen.
I got to tell you that there's a lot of things that abounded in me. Sin abounded, but grace abounded much more. Sin reigns. I want to read this. That as sin hath reigned, see that's a colon there, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. How long does sin reign? How long does sin reign? He just told you. Unto death. Not raining no more.
Right.
Not raining no more. There she is. Well, that's the shell she used to live in. Did you know that sin can only affect you until you die? For God's child, for God's children, sin only will affect you until you die. But my friends, if you are in the covenant of grace and you've been touched by grace, then you will be reigning in life eternally because of that grace.
Amen.
This is just a dropping off point. You know, I'm sorrowing, Craig, in my heart. But not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I'm sorrowing because I miss her. I'm sorrowing because I won't be able to see her no more. Oh, but my heart rejoices.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking about things that abound and things that abounded more. You know, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you what, sin only reigns until death. My faults. I want you to think about this for you. My faults, I'm thinking about it for me. My faults abound. But Jesus Christ's righteousness,
there you go,
supersedes any faults that I have.
Amen.
He covers them, don't he?
Amen.
He don't excuse them.
No.
But his blood covers them. You know, my sicknesses abound, but his healing supersedes my sickness.
That's right.
My disobedience abounds, like Adam's disobedience abounded, But Jesus' obedience abounded over, superabounded over my disobedience.
Amen.
I tell you, my hatred abounds sometimes, but His love supersedes and overrules my hatred every time. If something you can do could overpower something Jesus could do, then you got more power than He does. And I just don't think that's so.
Thank you. Amen.
My weaknesses abound, but His strength is more stronger than my weakness. Y'all see that? My lack of faith abounds, but His faithfulness supersedes and overrules my lack of faith. My belief sometimes falters, but His fidelity overrules my lack of belief.
Amen.
My fear sometimes abounds, but His assurance overrules my fear. He tells me, "Fear not." He told him, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless.
Right.
I'm going to send a comforter to you." Yeah, there's a lot of things that abound in me. You know, that's what our struggles. How many of y'all struggle? I haven't struggled with her going home. I've struggled with her leaving. You see. But He sent the comforter for my struggles. To comfort me. And I'm sure He sent the comforter to you. Oh, my poverty. You think about how many areas we're in poverty. I'm not talking about your wallet. I'm talking about in godly things. How impoverished are you? But you know what? His riches supersedes and overrules your poverty. What do you have that you could give to Him that would benefit Him? Nothing. But He's worthy of all the honor and the glory and the praise that we could give Him.
Amen.
I tell you what. His consolation supersedes any crying
Amen.
That I could do. If y'all would, I'd like to read verse. Psalm number 315. This kind of sums it up. How happy is every child of grace that feels his sins forgiven. This earth, he cries, is not my place. I seek a place in heaven. A country far from mortal sight, yet oh, by faith I see. The land of rest, the saints' delight, a heaven prepared for me. Oh, what a blessed hope is ours while here on earth we stay. We more than taste the heavenly powers and antedate that day. We feel the resurrection near, our life in Christ concealed, and with His glorious presence here, our longing hearts are filled. Listen and pay close attention to this last verse. When He shall more of heaven bestow, and bid my soul remove. and let my trembling spirit go to meet the God I love with rapturous awe. On Him I'll gaze, who died to set me free, and sing and shout redeeming grace in vast eternity. Y'all ever thought about it? What it's going to be like? Have any of y'all ever thought about what she's experiencing right now? I'm going to share this with you. When they called Sonia and I, about 1:20 or so in the morning on Monday morning, we got dressed and hopped in the car, went up there to the nursing home. Her breathing was getting threading, shallow, and farther apart. We sang to her for a while, a couple hours, off and on. Talked with her. And Hannah, got a hold of Hannah. She comes up there around four, a little bit before maybe. We sang some more. We were holding her hand. I said a prayer. And after I said amen, she took one more breath. And God let her trembling spirit go. Her bondage was over. And she was set free. What a blessing that is to know.
Amen.
And what she experienced at that moment,
yes, sir.
I can only imagine. Y'all ever heard that song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine? I don't know what it's going to be like, but I like to imagine, don't
Amen.
You? I don't know whether I'm going to stand in His presence. I don't know whether I'm going to fall to my knees. But I know I'll be satisfied.
Right.
I don't know whether I'm going to shout hallelujah or whether I'll be able to speak at all. I have no idea. But I tell you this, I'm going to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Will I dance? In the song he says, when I'm surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance before you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? I can only imagine. I don't know. I don't know what it's like, but I know this. I'll be satisfied.
Amen.
I know this today. She's around the throne of God, just like so many of the others that have gone on before. You know, what did they experience in Revelation? We've got some glimpses of the throne room of God, y'all. When those four beasts and the angels around and they say amen and all that, and then the four beasts fall down and worship, and the 24 elders, 20 and 4 elders fall down and worship. I tell you what, I believe she's worshiping God today with a perfectness that she never could while she was here. There's a song that goes, I can't get all of it, but it says, when I'm dead, I'll praise thee as I ought. She's praising Him as she ought today. Think about how wonderful it is in glory. To the family, I love you. I pray that God's comfort would surround you just like and even stronger than her smile and her hugs, with a deeper consolation than she could ever give. I pray that you would remember her fondly and give God the praise and the glory and the honor that His name deserves, and thank Him for blessing her to be a part of your life. I thank God. I can't imagine having anybody else as my mama. I'm sure I wouldn't have turned out the way that I did. I love you. Thank you for putting up with a rambling old man. I'm kind of getting tired of putting our folks in the ground. May God bless you is my prayer. Bow with me.